This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
If you guys have been listening to Ask Women for a while, you probably know my voice associated with some cynicism, maybe some jokes you're not a fan of, or maybe you are a fan of because you've got great taste. Well, either way, I've come a long way from that cynical gal, and I'm doing amazing things helping guys get their banter and conversation skills on track, as well as making those dating profiles look not so terrible. Or dare I say good? No, dare I say great. I get them looking great. And I've been doing it long enough now that I'm seeing actual results coming in from guys that I've worked with. Like, you know, for example, engagements, things like that. I have to say, I feel pretty good about my skills. And those dudes do too. So if you want to be smooth and witty in conversation or smooth and witty in your profile, you know who to come and see. And that's me, Kristen. And I'm at kristenandchill.com. All of my stuff is up there if you guys want to hit me up and get my help. So again, kristenandchill.com. Charm more than just your socks off.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick.
Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we have a repeat episode, but it's not a repeat episode because Marnie and I are out of town or being lazy. It's because we want to pay tribute to a guest who recently lost her life in a really, really tragic way. I think one of the things that attracts people to podcasting is that it's real, it's raw, it's imperfect, obviously, and it's genuine. And since it's real life, real things can happen, and sometimes real things are bad things. And in this case, a guest that we had on the show twice, Dr. Amy Harwick, a sex therapist, former model, and author of The New Sex Bible for Women, was tragically murdered, most likely by her ex-boyfriend. We don't talk a lot about violence on the show. We tend to keep things a little bit on the lighter side, and I'm not going to get into it now, but we wanted to pay tribute to Amy by replaying this episode. Not only was Amy incredibly accomplished, she was also incredibly beautiful, both inside and out. And that's not something I'm saying because she's no longer with us. Rarely do I feel comfortable around women, let alone absolutely beautiful, drop-dead, gorgeous women. But there was something about Amy that was incredibly humble, approachable, sweet, and endearing. And her death serves as a reminder that no matter who you are, tragedy can strike at any time. So live your life, stop doubting yourself, get yourself out there, approach the woman that you want to approach, be the person that you want to be. And I hope Amy's memory serves you today and for days, weeks, months, even years to come. And in this episode, we talk about what women think about sex and why it's so different from what men think. We also talk about how to escalate a conversation from non-sexual to sexual, how to approach a woman sexually without insulting or harassing her, how to be blunt, and so many more informative topics that Amy was so great at speaking on. So keep listening. Women what she wants.
We don't need to say ask women what she wants is for Wondery. We're just ask women. I'm happy with that.
We're ask women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And it happened for 3 years. We're going to continue to be that for
you need to really
another
be.
Year. Okay, I am giving the mic a blowjob. I'm
so
right on top
Kristen,
of it.
So, Kristen, that's me. I'm going to talk in third person. Yeah. That's how frustrated I am right now.
Yes.
That our microphone situation has been very difficult. And so I'm in a really bad mood doing the podcast.
Awesome. Super that's happy exactly to be back. What we want for a podcast. Mm-hmm.
But
anyway,
you need to stay really tight on your mic.
Okay, I'm on it. I'm like sucking on this microphone.
Okay,
right
stop
now.
Being dirty.
It wasn't and we dirty. Also I just literally have it in my mouth.
Amy Hardwick, thanks for coming back.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, that was really
I had something on my teeth, but we're on a podcast, so nobody would know.
But you're so
except
pretty,
I said it right
matter.
Now.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that we're making these like phallic references to microphones, and both of your microphones look quite phallic, and mine is a giant ball in my face.
Mm-hmm.
So this
yeah,
is what we're
we
doing.
We wanted a complete set. Yeah. Oh, now I see it on your tooth, too.
See, I wasn't going to be able to do the whole podcast be, you
like
know,
staring
looking
at you.
It.
That yeah. would have been the funny thing yeah. to make yeah. that happen every
Let
single
me,
time.
It's gone now. It's
okay.
Gone.
No, you're all good. Anyway, we have Amy on the show. She's been on the show before with us when we were at Playboy a couple of times. And Amy is a, I'm going to call you a sexpert, but what is your technical name? You're a therapist.
I'm a therapist. So there's lots of different
you're not
labels.
Just a random girl
right.
Talking
I'm not
about
just
sex.
Like, hey, I know all about sex. Let me talk about it. I am a marriage family therapist. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I have my PhD in human sexuality. Because of that, you can clump me into the sexpert category, but I'm a therapist and that's what I do every day. I'm in private practice and I work with people with a variety of issues from depression, anxieties, change of life issues, and about half of my clients.
I couldn't have you as my therapist. You're too attractive.
I wear less makeup.
You do?
I try to believe.
She
dumbs it down. I want to believe that I, bring it down a few notches.
Well, I had a gynecologist who walked in and she was gorgeous and like probably 5 years younger than me or something. And I was like, I can't do this.
Really?
Yeah, I can't.
For a gynecologist, I would think that's who you would want down there.
It no, is it just felt chick. Almost like we were in porn. We were in like a porn or something.
I know. Why not have fun then?
I'm like, no.
You
I
want an ugly girl
lady.
Going into your vagina?
I mean an old lady who has a mustache.
Interesting. Well, yeah, here's anyway. A little bit of insight into women. So I don't know if this is a common thing, but I had a few of my female friends over the other night, and I don't even know how we got onto this topic, but we talked about like what visuals we use when we're by ourselves. I don't know why I'm being so PG.
Hey,
this.
Y'all, sorry. I'm just being super annoying on the podcast right now because I'm the sound nerd now. We can't really be touching the table. So
okay.
Elbows
All right.
off.
Elbows off.
We have to be elegant.
This is the Nazi ass
yeah,
women.
Yeah, because I'm so sick of this shit.
I know. Don't
sorry.
Worry. We'll figure it out eventually.
Okay, keep talking.
Anyway, so all of us were saying that for us, when we're by ourselves, you know, what we watch as a visual is all three of us, all three women, we all watch lesbian porn. And that is like a thing. Do you
not
see this? So me and three of my girlfriends, and then actually the other night, I was over at my other friend's house and I was telling her that story. She's like, oh my God, me too.
All women watch lesbian porn?
I'm not saying all women. I'm saying four women now that I've talked to. I haven't really gone, you know, broader on this research study yet, except for right now, which neither of you are shaking your heads that you do it either. But like, why do you think that's a thing? And like, is that a common thing that a lot of women
Well, if it's made
watch?
For women, there might be a perception being portrayed from a female director. If it is lesbian porn for women by women.
I don't think I looked up lesbian porn for women by women. I just looked up.
I was just like, it's like the girl ultimate. On girl.
I just look for two women going down.
Yeah.
Like,
too much woman.
But that it
women
was interesting that all of us said that. We're all married as well.
The visualization is different with two women than it would be with the way traditional male-female porn would be shot, which is you see the penis, and then you see all the parts of the woman, but the guy really isn't shown. With two girls, you're seeing all the parts of all the women.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit more inclusive of both people rather than here's a woman, and we're going to show all of her, and then here's just this like erect penis, because men are totally fetishized and
right.
exploited in male-female porn. So I think it's a little bit more of a realistic view of here's two full humans having sex.
Yeah,
so
here's what you have and here's what can be done with it.
Right.
That's what I think is the reason. Because I was talking to my girlfriend last night when I brought this up as a common thing with myself and other girls. And I was saying, she was saying on like a scale of 1 to 10 how lesbian she was. She's not at all. She's married as well. And she goes, I'm like a 7 in heterosexuality. So there's like 3 points where she's like a little bit of a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And then I said that I watch female porn. And she's like, oh my God, me too. Anyway, I think a lot of women are kind of on that spectrum
as well. Well, I think everybody
is.
My ex-boyfriend has this theory that everyone's gay. A little
yeah.
gay.
Well, there's a
I'm not trying to say it because I'm uptight, but I'm just like super not into women.
I'm not into women
They don't
either.
Turn me on or...
Oh.
I don't get turned on if I was watching two women.
Okay, so on, really? If on that scaling, you would be on the other end of it. So yeah, in the 60s, the Kinsey scale was developed, which is a 6-point scale of hetero and homosexuality. And he was really the first one to openly say, yeah, not everybody is all straight and all gay, or even like right down the middle bisexual. I mean, even completely right down the middle is as likely as being all gay or all straight. But everybody kind of falls somewhere on the 6-point scale. So maybe, you know, you would be like a 4, and
right.
You would be like a 1 or a 2. So, but that's even outdated in and of itself because sexuality is so fluid. It's more like a broad
fluid.
Spectrum.
Yes, it's right. Fluid yeah. Now.
It might change over
it's
time.
It's all water. It's
look,
all water.
In 5 years, you're going to be all into girls. So,
in 5 years,
you're not going to be all into
yeah.
girls.
Dating's not going well. So, we'll
exactly.
see.
You might switch sides. Yeah. Anyway, as you can see, Amy is definitely a specialist when it comes to sex and sexuality, which is why I knew that she was the perfect guest to discuss a topic that I actually sent out a newsletter about the other day. And we were talking about it a little bit about before the show started. So one of my email coaching clients had sent me an email and had said that, you know, he had been with this girl that he was seeing and they had had sex earlier on in the evening and he was able to finish and complete and she was able to finish and complete. Everybody was happy. And then they went again to go for a second time. And then he said to her, so I'm not gonna be able to finish. And as soon as he said that, he could sense that she got really uncomfortable. She got tense and she sort of shut down a little bit and she seemed a little bit angry. And he was writing to me to ask about why this happens because he'd noticed it as a pattern because he explained to me biologically, he's just not able to. What I forget what the word.
Yeah,
is.
Well,
his
refractory period.
Refractory period.
Yeah, so refractory period is the period of time that takes for a man to get an erection and then be able to perform sexual functions again and typically ejaculate. So in younger guys, typically this period's smaller. I'm sure we've all had experiences in high school where you just go and go and go and you yeah. do it like rabbits. And, you know, maybe that's
which
happened to
like,
you.
Nope.
No, I was just trying to think of it should be called when you're not a man period.
Right. Well, it's when you're younger and your early 20s and when men get older, what changes with male versus female sexuality is women can do it over and over and over again. Typically, the issue that mostly comes up is lubrication
yeah.
and just general fatigue. But otherwise, we can engage repetitively, whereas a man needs that time to refuel. And for some men, that's a few minutes, regardless of age. Sometimes it's a few hours.
Right.
And when guys are getting older, sometimes that's a day or, you know, up to a week sometimes. And you're talking about older men in their 70s yeah. and 80s, they can have sex.
And you're seeing a 60-year-old? Can we say that?
Yeah, he's 59.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, he's 59.
So he's 60.
I'm trying to milk the last of the, that sounds pretty
so he's 85.
Milk the last.
So he's going to die next year.
Yeah.
So pretty much the age difference is pretty great. But
how old are you? Sorry, I just want you.
Let me think about that. 36.
Okay, so there yeah. you go. Just for people who are listening.
Oh, good. I'm younger than you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
God. Oh,
thank you.
Thank God. Okay. Well, I have that going for me.
Yeah,
I'm the youngest one here.
Yeah, there you go.
You are the youngest one here.
Yeah, it makes you feel good.
Anyway, I want to get back to this because I think it's really important. So in the newsletter that I sent out today to the people who are signed up for my newsletters, which you can do by going to my website, winggirlmethod.com, for anybody who's listening, I had sent out an email to try, and I had explained to this person as well that like, women have this belief about men and sex, that men are all about sex. Men can have sex 10 times in a night. Men sometimes want sex more than they want the person that's in front of them. So that's, and people actually responded kind of negatively to the newsletter that I sent out. Some of them were like, only insecure girls are going to feel that way. Women who are experienced don't feel. Anyway, I'm sure.
It's a cultural thing. It's
yes.
Look at our media. Look at how movies and TV shows portray men. Look at how porn portrays men.
Yeah.
Porn exploits and fetishizes men as you're a hard dick. And that's what
yeah.
you are. And that's what your role is in sexuality. You don't even see the full guy. Usually you pan up and you're like, oh, no, pan back down. I don't want to
yeah.
see this guy.
Well, also, I think there's something in the anonymity, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you see the dude's face, you're kind of like, oh, you can have a million thoughts about who that person would be. And mm-hmm. it's almost better to just have like a basic
penis.
Body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the message is guys are ready to go and they're ready to go at will. And it's the woman that controls it. So this is this cultural message. So when that's challenged, women or people can feel uncomfortable, even the guys. So the lack of education of male bodies and male sexuality is pretty unfortunate for women out there dating, because I think this is relatively common for women to feel uncomfortable and unsure. For example, I had a client that had a difficult time getting and maintaining an erection, never had an orgasm with a woman before, just is able to do it on his own, not with a woman. And typically when he dates, women will look angry or upset or feel offended, but mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with that individual and everything to do with this person's relationship with his own sexuality and his biological function.
Which is perfect, because I want you to tell us now how men can provide the information to the woman that they're having sex with without creating more discomfort or more insecurities for both, for either person.
So having dialogues about sexuality in general, something we just typically don't do, especially before we have sex. And, you know, one brag about my relationship, before ever anything ever got sexual, my partner said to me, hey, can we talk about sex? Can we talk about what we're into? And like, I'm into this thing. What are your thoughts and feelings about that? And this is kind of the pace I like to go at. And we had a great compromising conversation.
Been a dream for you.
Oh, yeah. I was like, this is amazing. Is this because he's older? Is this who he is as a person? It was amazing and so mature. But most people don't do that. And so I think it's okay to have that conversation.
And most people aren't open to hearing that either, and that it can scare them.
But that's a problem. Right. Like, if you have a conversation with somebody about sex and that in and of itself makes them feel angry or upset or uncomfortable, then imagine what it's going to be like when you actually have sex with that person. So it's okay to say as a guy, yeah, here's how it usually goes for me. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. You know, typically when I ejaculate, I'm not able to do it in for another.
Stuck in this conversation, just be like, how quickly can I get out of this conversation?
But yeah, it usually takes me like a day. So, you know, if I finish, then I probably am not going to go again for a while.
He said that to you?
I'm saying hypothetically, if that's what this guy, a guy's dilemma or situation is. Because typically if a woman wants to go again and they can't, maybe she is going to be confused or unknowing if her experience has been men with smaller refractory periods and she doesn't have the education to know it differs per guy.
Right.
So it's okay to say, once I finish, that's it for about a day. You know, I could do things with you, but this, you know, the pressure, I'm not going to be able to do any more than that. So just so you know, this is where I'm at.
It's kind of how I am with like reading. Like when I read once, I'm like, okay, I have a very long refractory period before I can read again.
I just finished a book. I feel the same way too. Maybe 3 months.
Yeah.
I'll read another one. Well, so what about for people who don't have wonderful communication, like the guy that you're seeing and yourself? And let's say they just get into the situation where they have had sex.
So it's happened.
They're having sex. He's not able to finish. And he says what to her about not being able to finish?
Well, if he's perceiving...
It's your face.
Yeah. It's you. No. So they're in this situation. He's finished. They're laying around having that glowy moment. Some time has passed and she wants to go again. She's touching him and he's not getting erect and she's starting to look frustrated. That's when in that moment, you can still do these things in the moment. We take things for granted how much control we have to deal with any situation as it's happening. So as it's happening, be present and say, hey, just a heads up, this is what my body does. And I'd be happy to do things to you. Or you can just, you know, if you're scared to have those conversations, you can just turn it around on her and, you know, perform oral sex on her, give her a massage, make out. We are so focused on genitals that we don't focus on other things that are fun and exciting and erotic, like full body licking or sucking, kissing and psychological play, verbal play. So not everything has
to do with that. Well, what about for other guys who do have difficulty getting hard or do have difficulty finishing on the first time? Because I'll say that sometimes with my husband's gonna hate that I'm saying this, but like when he's been more stressed and he's a little overweight and we are not sleeping as much, he has said to me like, oh, I'm just not gonna be able to finish. And there is something, even though I know the information in me that's like, it's me. And I like look down for a second and then I know how to get myself out of that insecurity and be like, it's not me, this is him. But we still have a conversation about it afterwards because it's just to help both people communicate what's going on. But let's say people aren't as intimate as my husband and I, and they're just having sex for the first time. Let's say this is a continuous issue for this man. How does he communicate these things in the moment?
You have to be comfortable talking about it because talking about it either beforehand or in the moment is going to save so much distress afterwards, thinking, what was she thinking? Does she think I'm not into her? Would she want to go out with me again? Is she going to tell people?
Is this something that you should verbalize as well, saying, I don't want you to think this is about you. This is completely
beyond
me. Hey,
this is my body. This is what happens to me. Sometimes I have difficult times getting an erection, but, you know, I can do things with you. This is how I can work on it.
And reaffirm, that doesn't mean that I'm not excited about you because I'm totally turned on by you.
Right. I'm totally turned on by you. This is just how my body is, and this is what I do in this situation. And if the person...
I like being able to blame your body. It's like, I would blame like a friend, like, oh, I'm late because my friend was late. It's the same kind of thing. Like my body's the blame.
Yeah, exactly. Right. This is my biology. This is how I made it.
This is how I work and it's not going to be changed overnight. And, you know, and if a woman's reaction to that or a partner's reaction to that is negative, shaming, humiliating,
then you don't.
That's their own insecurity.
Don't have sex with them again.
That's their own insecurity.
Right. Whether it's certain, or maybe they're just a judgmental person. Like, not everybody out there is a great person. Like, you're not going to sleep. Everybody you sleep with is not going to be a good.
I also want to say about the woman that Marnie was talking about saying that he couldn't. The woman was upset because he couldn't go twice. Is she dumb? Like,
she doesn't have the education. She doesn't know.
But what do you mean? Because I don't know anything about sex. But one thing I know that is, like, a guy can't go twice. Like,
oh,
that's
really?
Just a general knowledge thing.
See,
and
that's so
I wouldn't be offended.
Because I actually think the opposite way. So when my husband, and this is a younger thing, but when my husband and I started dating, we would have sex every night. I was 23, 24, whatever, really young. He was 10 years older. Mm-hmm. And once we started having sex, we'd have sex every night. And finally, one night, he turned to me and said, he's like, I can't.
Ooh, don't do that to the table.
I cannot have sex every night. I'm just showing how serious it was. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't have sex every night. And like, there was no more explanation from him, and that I internalized everything, because in my mind, men want sex every night. This is like a dream for men to have a woman who wants to have sex with them every night, because this is just unheard of.
You know who's complicated? Women. Women are complicated. That's why you're listening to this podcast. You know what's also complicated? Skincare. You know what doesn't need to be complicated? Skincare. And guess who makes it uncomplicated? T. Shanley. So you don't have to worry about finding another podcast to help you figure out something that's complicated like skincare, and just let them handle it. And then just focus more on our podcast and podcasts like ours to make women and dating less complicated. Am I making this too complicated? I think I am. So I'm going to stop and just get right down to business. Tiege Hanley provides men with skincare products that you absolutely need, nothing more, nothing less. So you don't have to stand over your sink every night or every morning going, okay, what should I use now? And then if I use this now, do I have to use it later? But then I have this other thing for now too. And it's all laid out. And you don't even have to think about reordering it, because you can do it as a subscription. It's so simple, so easy. And you are going to thank me, because your skin is going to look so good. You're not going to realize it could even look that good. You didn't know that if you scrub this like rock thing, it could turn into a diamond. Well, guess what? That's your face. And your face is going to say, wow, that was way easier than I thought it was going to be. I should have started this a long time ago. Their systems start at only $25, which is so cheap. But if you go to tiegehanley.com/askwomen, you'll get it even cheaper. That's tiege.com/askwomen. Believe me, women are looking at your skin. They're looking at it. Go to tiege.com/askwomen.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great, because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Oh, I was saying that I, like, in my mind, and I still, to some degree, even though I know all of the information, I still think that men want sex.
That's your schema about men, and that's very common culturally, yeah, that women or people think, well, men are ready to go, and they're sexual all the time, and they have sex thoughts all the time. I felt that way recently in my relationship. You know, when we first started being sexual, it was a lot of, like, talk and excitement about it, and then, you know, like, real life kicks in, and you're doing real life stuff more, and, like, maybe you're not going to talk about sex 24/7 or right, want to do it, and that's normal in a relationship, but of course, in my mind, those automatic thoughts that come up as a woman, or having any insecurities or any anxiety,
why talk about,
wait a second,
anymore.
We haven't flirted in this particular way for 6 hours. Does he, is it me? Is it? No, it's like real life takes over, and all men don't think about sex all the time. Mm-hmm. There's slightly more of a sexual drive because of the amount of testosterone, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's that much more disproportionate. Yeah, but that's all about communicating with that partner and understanding how their mind works, and that's part of a relationship. So if you are in a relationship with somebody, it's saying, hey, you mentioned that the other night you can't have sex every night. What did you mean by that? What does it mean to you to have sex every night? Mm-hmm. And approaching it with curiosity, approaching it with wonder in a non-offensive, non-judgmental way might give you information that you could say, oh, I totally understand and get it now.
I have a question that's sort of piggybacking on one of the mm-hmm. things that you said. So as a man, how often should you be checking in about topics like this? So for example, like if you notice that maybe you're not talking about sex as much as a man, or things are shifting in your relationship, I know typically a lot of men just choose to allow things to sort of shift, mm-hmm. where I do know that women focus more on the fact that there is a shift happening. Mm-hmm. Do you suggest that men bring up this topic or wait for a woman to bring it up?
Oh, initiate. Initiate communication all the time. I mean, maybe not 24/7, but every week, every couple weeks, every month, have a check-in talk. Hey, I just want to check in. I just want to say my partner does that too. So mature. Is it? But he's like, hey, I just want to check in. Are you happy with everything? Yeah, I am. That's great. You know, and that also opens up an opportunity to have a discussion if there is an issue that maybe one or the other person's minimizing. Right. But I think having a check-in every once in a while about everything is good. Hey, are you happy with our sex life? Hey, are you happy with our day-to-day and the amount of time we spend together? Just want to check in about
it. No, I like the points that you're giving. Because I would say that is actually extremely helpful because the simple check-in can be a little bit intimidating.
Yeah, super casual too. Hey, Marty, I just want to check in. How are you feeling about this podcast? You think it's going well?
I think it's going great. Right?
Well, that's great. Yeah. Then there's, you know, then that's it. Great, move on to something else. It's like, well, sound's been an issue. Yeah, you're banging on the tables. Stressed.
I know. Her head's about to explode. Okay, I have one more question for you. So there was somebody else that wrote in to me, and I didn't really know how to answer this, and I set this question aside for when you were on the show, because I knew you'd be able to talk about this. So how do you start talking sexually to a woman from the very beginning? So this one guy had written... And he had said that when he's online with women, this is his first message that he says. He says, hey, what's up? You look really attractive. I want to hook up with you.
Ugh.
And then he writes, I get no response from them after this. I always thought women appreciated men clearly stating their intentions and getting right to the point.
Moron.
And where was this? This was emailed to you?
So he emailed this to me.
Okay.
And he's just saying he's very baffled.
Okay, last night. So I'm back in LA and I'm back on Bumble and Tinder because I was out of town for a while and just shut it off.
Welcome back.
It's not great to be back. So I had this guy write to me through Instagram. I must have swiped left on him because he had like blonde hair and I'm not into dudes with blonde hair. It's just for some reason
not into the Aryan look at all.
It's just like it's more like effeminate to me or something. Like there's something masculine about dark hair, dark beard, whatever. So I swiped left on him, but then he wrote to me on Instagram and I noticed it in my whatever messages and I was like, oh, he kind of looks like Ryan Gosling or something. So and like he seemed like he had really cool style and like he was a photographer. And so I wrote back to him. And first of all, he did everything wrong. Literally everything wrong. It first started by him. He was like, you seem really funny. I'd like to see some of your stand up, which was fine. And then he basically started.
Always fine for a fan.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, I want to be more on like the same level, peer level. But he went immediately into saying it was like, he jumped like 8 levels ahead where we literally just started talking on Instagram. And he said, but normally I don't want to make excuses for a girl that I introduced to my friends. Like, oh, she's actually really nice. And so he presumed that my comedy was like, or that I'm a bitch because I make like snarky comments for comedy. And so one, I felt like he was calling me a bitch, like right off the get go. And then two, he took it like to the future where literally we're about 4 lines into Instagram talking. So that was wrong. And then I can go on and on about how much more wrong he did. But last night I ended up talking to this different guy who was great. He was hilarious. We totally hit it off. And the sexual, how do you talk sexually to a woman? That's why I'm mentioning all this. We were joking about loving like fast food and Taco Bell. And he's like addicted to Taco Bell. And like, we were talking about like Taco Bell breath. And he's like, we're totally going to make out on our first date. Like after we eat Taco Bell or something like that. And I thought it was a really cute, smooth way to introduce. It's like, he didn't say, I want to hook up with you. Make out is like 8th grade and fine. You know, that's nothing offensive or scary or whatever. Not that I would be offended if he wanted to do more than that, of course. But I thought that was a really good introduction into going into that topic. And then
did you continue?
A little bit. And then, you know, it was our first night ever talking. And so I didn't want to take it too far, but
yeah,
you know, I did a little banter segue about it and it was great. And so now that's open. So when we do meet, which we will, that's going to be established that like we've already decided we're making out.
Right.
And whatever can happen from there.
I think that's great. I think that's great. And even with the email that you got, okay, well, you're not interested clearly for many reasons, but the guy put it out there. And if you're not interested, you just don't respond or you say no thank you and that's it. Okay. Right.
But also that's not the way to get a girl interested.
Right. That's not going to probably work in his favor. However, he did ask. It's not like he was being abusive about it. He was just saying, hey, like, yes, I want to hook up with you.
100%, I give him a thumbs up for putting it
out
there.
But that does work sometimes.
It depends on what platform they're meeting. If it's on more of a hookup site or whatever.
Or if that woman's like, yeah, you know what?
And somebody's like, you know what? You're hot too. Let's hook up. Because a lot of my friends are in that state of mind. They're like, you know, I just want to go out and feel validated and make out with some hot dudes.
But I feel like 9 out of 10 it's not going to work.
I think 99 out of 100 is not going to work. But
it's interesting. I read a study recently about mostly dating apps and how you approach people. Like, is it, hey, babe, let's hang out versus I looked at your profile. I saw you really like Depeche Mode and this is my favorite album and let's chat about it. So the more thought out ways and considerate ways to approach someone does work out better, but statistically for the person that copies and pastes, hey babe, you're hot, let's go out, actually it's only slightly less responses than the person who's spending the high,
really?
More crafted time, because that takes more time. So the quantity versus quality is actually only slightly less successful.
Wow.
So it actually reinforces men or people to have these like less crafted, more generic type of introductions to people, and that person is only slightly less successful
that's
dating than somebody who's
to me.
Yeah, it is, but that's part of the reinforcement.
More, you're saying statistically, so never mind.
Right, if I copy and paste and just send.
Yeah, like it's the quantity. You might as well put your odds higher.
Someone's going to work out because...
100%. Listen, you can do anything that you want to do and something is going to work out for you if you keep interacting with a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that most people don't interact with like 50 people. They interact with four, and that's why it doesn't work out. So we're trying to increase...
Total exposure.
Send it to 1,000 people versus 10.
I want to talk about...
How to approach women sexually? I think with all the Weinstein stuff in the news and Ben Affleck, and that's bringing up all these other stories that women have, whether it's about well-known people and pressures for work-related things or just even interactions that they have with men. It's brought a lot up with clients that I have, especially female clients that are very attractive, saying, you know, this is my life every day. Every day guys are sending me messages or I walk down the street and it's, hey, baby, this or nice ass that. And, you know, so I think that it is important to establish where's the line and what is okay, what is not okay. If you ask somebody, hey, I think you're really attractive, would you like to have sex with me? They're just still asking you. You can just say no. And that's not an assault. But if
the way it'll be interpreted in 2017 is an assault.
Is that it is an assault. And I think that's something we have to be really cautious on how we label how people interact. If somebody's asking you or they're asking permission or they're asking consent or they're saying, hey, I think you're attractive, it's your choice and responsibility of how you respond and react to that behavior. If somebody's being invasive or hypersexualizing things or sending you sexual pictures that you're not asking for, that is not consensual. So there is a line there, but we have to be cautious on how we label things, because I'm seeing a lot of things, mostly on social media, where people are labeling things as assault that are people's attempts to be consensual. They're just not wanted by you.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just a difference of opinion. But so I wanted to dive in a little bit. How much more time do we have?
We're at 26 minutes. I'm at 33% of my battery.
Okay. So we're going to go for 5 more minutes.
Great.
Okay. So, because he wrote, I get no response from them after this. I always thought women appreciated men who clearly state their intentions and get right to the point. So can you speak to that a little bit?
So this is interesting, because are you pretty open that you're, I mean, you're talking about it, that you're married.
Yeah.
And you have a baby, you're married, you've been with your partner a long time. So this person's writing to you, a person who is open and out there publicly that you are in a relationship. And
he approached you?
Oh, no. This isn't writing to
you. Oh, yeah. Okay. Rewind.
Yeah. No. But
what he uses on sites.
Yes, what he goes on to sites.
Right.
And again, what you were saying, like this is going to finally hit and somebody will respond. But why is this not, it is clearly stating your intentions.
Right. But you have to match up with somebody else with those same intentions. So that's assuming that you are messaging women that could possibly just be on the site because they just want to hook up. And there are women that are there for that purpose, but it's not the majority of them. Even with Tinder used to be labeled as like a hookup site, but now it's not. People are getting married in long-term relationships more than not on
Tinder. But they're also not at the same time. So there's this like hot air and cold air coming together. And like the guy that I met on Tinder that I like basically fell for was just looking to hook up. And so people's intentions aren't lining up and it's creating some terrible scenarios.
Right. So he's putting it out there
personally.
He's putting it out there, but he's going to have more rejection than acceptance until he matches up with the person that is on the same page.
Okay. But basically what I'm, not, this is just in general, people aren't stating their intention that they just want to hook up. Guys will go on there for, and girls I'm sure will do the same thing, that, but they'll go on looking for someone to hook up with, but they're not leading, the pretense is not that they're going to hook up. The pretense is we're going on a date, and then it turns out they just want to hook up. And so basically people aren't being honest.
Yeah. And that honesty, the answer here is that honesty is the best policy.
Yeah.
So if you,
but honesty doesn't get you results, obviously.
Yeah.
So people aren't. Dude,
right. But then you're doing it under manipulative pretense. Yeah.
But what if it's not manipulative? And what if you don't want to say, like, listen, I just want to hook up with you. Like, let's just be clear here. But you're having a fun vibe with that person. You haven't said, I'm on here to get married. I'm on here to find a relationship. Is that really being manipulative?
It's both parties' responsibility to clarify that if that's something that is of value.
Like, I learned my lesson. Now that I go forward and state, like, I'm actually looking for something.
Right.
And I didn't do that before.
If you guys not saying it, you can say on that first day, hey, I'm having a really good time with you. You know, it's a first date. This is like our screening. It's like our job interview. You know, no matter what the intention is, I'm looking for a relationship. And I don't want to hook up. Don't want to have a one-night stand. Why are you on Tinder? Why are you on Bumble?
Yeah.
And then that can lead the guy to say, well, you know, I'm not really looking for anything serious. I'm just casually dating. And then you can choose if you want to still hook up with him or not. But then that would be your choice. So, if, you know, you have just as much responsibility to ask and disclose your own feelings about it than the guy does.
Okay. That's interesting. What are better ways? So I want to hear about, like, you and this guy talking. What were you talking about first that led to that makeout comment that made it okay for him to go there? Like, what connected you first to say, I can now go to this place?
Well, I mean, I always comment on someone's profile. And so on Bumble, as a girl who has to open, I'm super creative with my openers, or I just make sure it's all specific to the person. Mm-hmm. I'm not just like, hey, I never will just say hi. And so in his profile, he had, I think, Taco Bell as a food group. And so and there was a bunch of other stuff in his profile, but that was the first thing that I could kind of comment on or make a joke with. And I said, so my opener was, I agree that Taco Bell is a food group. And I might even add that it's the most important food group. And so then we had just all this banter about fast food. My diet's not great. Like, my last post on Instagram is eating Fruity Pebbles.
Right.
And so it was all that banter. And so it was like, going well, funny banter. And then that's when he threw in.
What
do
you say again?
Then we're totally going to make out on our first date, because we had talked about, like, having bad breath from, like, Taco Bell or whatever.
Would it have,
like,
been okay if he made that comment within the first few exchanges for you?
It was within basically the first few exchanges.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're interested in him. So there's the precedent that I'm interested. We're talking on this format. I think you're attractive.
Yeah. But I also, that was kind of at that make or break moment, because the other guy, for example, that was within the first couple of exchanges as well, when he made that comment of, like, I don't want to have to make excuses for my girlfriend that she's actually really nice and not a bitch. That was it was over. At that point, it was over. Whereas the other guy, they were both basically the same amount of lines in, and one guy broke it and one guy made it, you know, like,
yeah.
So
I think that's a cute way for clarifying, like, yes, I want to kiss you. Yes,
yeah,
I want to do these.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah. And because I continued with it, he clearly felt comfortable. And, like, we basically texted for, like, two.
It's a clarification.
We texted for,
cute,
like, 3 hours afterward.
Oh wow.
We texted until, like, 1 a.m. last night.
Okay,
that's great.
So basically, what I'm hearing is go gradually. That
go
for,
gradually
for the majority of women, but you are also saying
also
that
feel
putting
the,
those intentions
out
there could,
whether it's right away or also, you know, in the first message, hey, I'm looking to hook up at some point. Maybe somebody will respond and two people.
But he also, I mean, in this context, he did say on our first date. So, like, it was,
he clarified,
like,
it was a date, that you're going to go on a date and that he'd also like to kiss you.
Yeah.
And it was clarified in a way using the things you're interested in, like bad breath and Taco Bell.
Yeah.
But I think that's cute. I have a client that I talked to recently that has hung out with somebody a few times. He doesn't know if it's a date. They're going out to dinner. He's paying, but he's unsure. And so his plan was to then say, hey, the next time I take you out, let's go to this dinner. And this time, let's make it a kissing date. Like, a cute, quirky way of saying,
yeah,
I want to make contact with your body because I'm attracted to you. And this is establishing this date is not only a date, and I'm verbalizing this, but I'd also like to kiss you. And then to see what the response, yeah, is.
So has he tried to kiss her and she hasn't been responsive?
No, it's just been, I think the person's cold and very busy in a very, like, high academic position. So it could be just like a colder person.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay to clarify that way, that this is a date.
Yeah. And this is my intention, is to be.
And I would like to kiss you. And I think that's, gives somebody a heads up that it's going to happen. For me, when I was dating, I didn't like being kissed on a first date. And I felt like it was invasive if a guy went and just shoved his tongue in my my head. I felt like that was like, I don't even know where your tongue's been. Like, you just like slammed this on me. I like a little bit of clarification and, hey, I'd like this. This is my intention. So, but everybody's different. I also have clients that come in and say, I went on a first date and it was so great. And he didn't even try to kiss me. I guess he didn't like me. Yeah. So, but I think
that goes back to what we were talking
communication
about
and clarification is just always the best way to go, whether you do it in a direct way immediately or you do it gradually and work in the person's interests. Like, that worked really well for you, Kristen. I think that was a really great way that you both kind of connected that way. It seems like you both click in that way of communication. So, but it's different for everybody. But I think that communication and clarification is your responsibility.
Yeah. So figuring out some cute ways to have these conversations that don't feel too robotic and too aggressive can be helpful for anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, copying and pasting can work. Like, once you figure out something
quantity-wise, statistically, it's going to work at some point.
But it still has to be a good line.
Right.
It still has to be something engaging and not, well, I mean, I, you know what? I don't know.
But you can tell when it's, a copy and paste of line. You just know what it is.
Yeah. Yes.
And again, it will work on the people that don't care, but are those people you want to be with? Maybe if you want to just hook up.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe. Sure. Maybe for that person.
He wants to hook up with that person. If they're going to say yes, sure. That's great. That's perfect for them.
That matches. And, yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, Amy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Are we going to do any questions or anything like that?
No, because we don't have a lot of time.
We got to go.
It's a short show.
We got to go.
It's like 34 minutes.
Suck it up, people. It's all you're getting from us. We'll make it longer than next time. Anyway, thank you for being on our show. How can people find out more about you?
You can go to my website, which is dramiharwick.com. That's DramiHarwick. You can check me out on Instagram, Dr. Amy Harwick, Facebook, Dr. Amy Harwick. Pretty consistent all over the place. And I'm in private practice in West Hollywood. So if you're in Los Angeles area, you can contact me if you have questions about being a client. I also wrote a book called The New Sex Bible for Women that you can check out on Barnes & Noble, Borders, every website that sells books, and usually most physical bookstores if you actually go to those. Yes.
And Kristen, do you have anything to announce?
Yes. Please listen to my other podcast, Mentally Chill. If you guys are feeling down in the dumps or just want to be entertained, check it out.
And you can go to my website, winggirlmethod.com, and continuing to listen to the Ask Women podcast, even as we go through constant transition and try to figure out what's going on with us, knocking the table, shifting the microphone. We still deliver excellent content, and entertaining content. If you want to write in questions for our show, I promise you we will get to our overanalyze this questions, but write into ask@askwomenpodcast.com. New episodes of our podcast come out every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. You guys are amazing and supportive and wonderful. And thank you for sticking with us as we go through these ups and downs and changes. But we are Ask Women, back to being Ask Women. You guys are awesome. We'll see you next week.